Alrighty, Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
And Shabbat Shalom to all those watching with us today. Today I got an extremely important message, and it's the fourth gateway to the kingdom on self-discipline. The message is called, In Your Patience, You Will Gain Your Souls. We're going to go over that scripture in Luke. In your patience, you will gain your souls. And like I said, it's the fourth gateway to the kingdom of Yahweh, self-discipline. It's an extremely important gateway, excuse me, because this is the first gateway dealing with not only your human nature, but your actual fleshly body. And like I always say, if we could just get in our minds to surrender the body, the spirit's easy. There's one spirit. It will always work. But you have to willingly surrender your body to do that. If you don't discipline your body, you will never overcome Satan and sin. It's that simple. And that's why this is really important, because the rest are in the spiritual realm. This is in the physical realm. This is something you physically have to do today. And that's why it's so easy for Satan to work on you to stop you from having self-discipline. Humans go through life obsessively trying to preserve the physical fleshly bodies, when scripture says we should be dying to the flesh daily. Most humans are completely controlled by one degree or another to not just preserving their flesh, but giving gratification to their flesh through the five senses: touch, taste, smell, seeing, and hearing. Things such as plastic surgery, that believe it or not, now men have more plastic surgery than women because of all this social media. They want every angle that they're looking at, you know, that they're going to look at their face as if it makes a difference, right? Makeup, wearing a mask on the face to look like something you're not. Obsessive working out is all obsessive behavior to try to give a false image of one's flesh to others. Even when someone is dead, can you imagine? They make up the body, they cake makeup on, and then, you know, they come in. Oh, hey, he looks pretty good, doesn't he? Looks pretty good, he's dead. What do you mean he looks pretty good, he's dead? It's all this false perception of trying to hold on and build up the physical instead of the spiritual. Most people will gratify their flesh through food, sexual perverseness, entertainment, TV, internet surfing, social media, with no self-discipline, and all for simple gratification of the flesh. And that's the point. Because your human nature is fallen and your human nature loves this, it's going to do it every time if you don't get self-discipline in your life. How many people are following me going to the store on Twitter? How many likes do I have on Facebook? And now it's admitted by the people who created Facebook. They're admitting that we made the algorithms. We made this to get you addicted to it. We purposely did this to addict you. It's satanic. And yet some believers are still on Facebook, believe it or not. How many thumbs up? The average person through this demonic addiction checks these things hundreds of times daily. Even getting up in the middle of the night, some people, to check their accounts, to see who's writing, to see how many thumbs up. And they have no self-control whatsoever. And through their fallen human nature is being controlled by Satan. This is the least self-disciplined society that has ever been on earth. And it's because it's prophesied to be that way. And without self-discipline, the fourth gateway to the kingdom, you will never enter the kingdom of Yahweh. John 3:6 says, the thing which is born of flesh is flesh. The thing which is born of spirit is spirit. There is a fleshly realm and there's a spiritual realm. And until you get your fleshly realm in order, you'll never enter the spiritual realm. 1 Corinthians 15:44, you know, on the resurrection, it's sown a natural body. It's raised a spiritual body. There's a natural body and there's a spiritual body. Until you get your natural body disciplined and in order, you'll never enter the spiritual realm. And that's what Christianity does. That's the false tongues movement, right? That people that are totally without self-discipline in their life, they want to, you know, speak some demonic thing or roll on the floor like a dog or bark like a cat or whatever they're going to do. And then they want to make believe that's the Holy Spirit. And it's absolutely ridiculous, because a lot of these people even commit suicide. You know, they wind into great depression, and they wind into depression because they're looking for a false spirituality that isn't there. And again, the only avenue is what we're going to go over today. And again, I'm going to give you the reasons today and how to do this, how to get self-discipline in your life. I teach it at the school extensively. We have one more program we're going to be doing this June. If anybody would like to come, we still have some spots open. But I'm telling you, it's the most important thing in your life, because if you can't get self-discipline in your life, you're playing a game. You will never enter the kingdom of Yahweh, and Satan has you on his leash and will drag you around every year. 1 Corinthians 15:50 says, And I say this, brothers, that flesh and blood is not able to inherit the kingdom of Yahweh, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. And that's why Yahweh says, not that we feed our flesh, not that we gratify our flesh, we die to the flesh daily. You have to die to the flesh daily. You have to get self-discipline in your life. And if you don't, you'll never enter the spiritual realm. You're playing a game. So let's start in 1 Corinthians 9 in verse 25. 1 Corinthians 9 in verse 25 says, and every man who battles in the contest frees his mind from everything else, right? When you're running that race, the runner in that race isn't running around there and thinking, oh, wow, at 11 o'clock, I'm going to have a McDonald's hamburger. Or he's not sitting there thinking, ooh, tonight I'm going to watch my favorite TV program. No, you free your mind. When you're running in that race, you're thinking of one thing. You're self-disciplining yourself. What? How do I have to run? How do I have to put my body? How do I have to move my arms? Because you want to win the race. You've practiced. You've tried. And it's the same way in life. Now, like it says, every man who battles in the contest frees his mind from everything else. Are you freeing your mind completely from the world? Because I'll tell you something. We've never had a world like this. And I know to most of us that are born into it, right? I'm born in 1964, so I'm born in this last generation. All I know is this world. And if I allow myself to just be overtaken by this world, by the TV, by the internet every minute, by billboards, by radio, by everything infiltrating my mind, I'm not freeing my mind from all other things. My mind has got to be, whatever you focus on is most real to you. I'm going to say that over and over in this message. And repetition is the mother of skill. Because in the human realm, like Pavlov's dogs, right, what happened? They get the dog hungry, and then they ring the bell, they get food. They get the dog hungry, they ring the bell, they get food. They get the dog hungry, they ring the bell, they get food. Then all of a sudden, the dog's not hungry, but they ring the bell, and the dog's looking for food. Because we are creatures of habit. And you do have to condition yourself. This will not just happen. It's not, hear a sermon and it's going to happen. Or take a pill and it's going to happen. I'm telling you, you have to condition yourself. But it's life and death. Because the ones who don't, you're going to fall away. It's that simple. If you live in the world of Babylon, and it's not only in America, it's all over. Because you can go to the worst, I'm telling you, I've been in the worst third world nations. You can go to Sudan and everybody has an iPod. It doesn't matter. You've got to get out of the world. You've got to get out of social media. You've got to get all these things to free your mind so that every day you could be focused on the kingdom of Yahweh. Every man who battles in the contest frees his mind from everything else. And yet they run to win a crown that is perishable, but we to win one that is everlasting. So the Olympics, you know, it just went on here recently, right? The Winter Olympics. And these people will practice for years and years and years and years for that one moment to get a little gold medal, right? Nothing against it, you know, if that's what their life is about, you know, at least they're structured and they're disciplined. But we have something so much greater than that. We have a medal that's not going to perish. We have a medal that's eternal life. And Yahweh is saying it here. Yeshua said it very clearly. Unless you forsake everything, you cannot be my disciple. And don't believe these false narratives out there that yes, you can be a disciple and be in the world and work in the world and live in the world and do all these other things and play golf every other Sunday and you can be a true believer. It's not true. You have to give your life over to Yeshua because it's eye for eye, tooth for tooth, life for life in the Torah, and your life had a death penalty over it. And Yeshua gave his life for you. And now he expects you to live your life in the flesh and the spirit to him. And we're going to go over today how to do that. He says, so I run accordingly, not as uncertainly, but I fight as not beating air. But I conquer and subdue my body. I conquer and subdue my body so that by no chance when I preach to others, I myself will be rejected. And I'll tell you something. I got problems like anybody else. I'm a human being like anybody else. But I can tell you one thing. I have self-discipline. I discipline myself because I take this serious. And I know it. I know that you don't stay disciplined. You have to work on it every day of your life. And if you don't keep up with this discipline, something will snatch in right away. Why? Because the problem is our human nature. Your human nature will never go away. Your human nature is always going to be there. And people, for the most part, are unwilling to change. I said this when I usually give messages on repentance. One of the first things I say is, unfortunately, most people will never repent. It's not that they can't repent. They love themselves too much, and they love the sin too much. And because everything we do in life is for two things, pain and pleasure. That's the way our mind works. When you get a response from your nervous system, and that's where your responses come from, right? If right now you're saying, oh, I feel a little cold, I want to put a jacket on. You didn't just think that. That didn't come out of nowhere. No one put it in your ear. Your nervous system is telling you that your body feels cold, do something about it. And the way that your mind works is, it will automatically, without even thinking, is this going to be painful to me or pleasurable to me? And if something is pleasurable, it's going to do it. If it's painful, it won't do it. And our mind will work 10 times harder to avoid pain than to gain pleasure. And that's why when people have a toothache, they don't go to the dentist, right? Because the pain hurts, but they're thinking the pain of the dentist is going to be worse. But then when that pain gets so unbearable, now that pain is worse than thinking of the pain what the dentist is going to do. It's just the way we work. It's the way Yahweh created us, that we work as creatures of habit through our immune system. But also now we have a fallen human nature, and you have Satan the devil. And every day Satan the devil is broadcasting to you. He's the prince of the power of the airways. And how is he broadcasting? Through internet, through TV, through billboards and radio, through other people. When you're around non-believers, who do you think? You think non-believers all day are broadcasting the word of Yahweh to you? No, they're putting doubts in your mind. They're putting things in your mind that are not from Yahweh. And this is why you need discipline in your life. Because if not in the world, the chaotic world we live in, man, if you don't have self-discipline, this stuff will overtake you. And people are falling away in the end time now more than ever before. You know, especially without congregations, without elders, without structure. It's almost impossible. And it's the Laodicean era. So, man, there may be thousands and thousands of these people out there, but they're all Laodiceans. And now they're even organizing conferences and doing this. And they pick and choose. But they're not part of the work of Yahweh. They're not part of the kingdom of Yahweh. It's just a selfish, individual thing of trying to please their flesh in another way. But Satan has 1,000 ways to distract you. It may seem innocent at first, right? Extra overtime at work, a sickness that stops you from praying or studying for a few weeks, a chaotic schedule at home, right? Maybe a lady just had a baby, or there's a relatives, unconverted relatives in your house coming for a month. But we are creatures of habit, and whether you are brand new in the faith or 30 years baptized, if you don't stay focused and conquer your flesh daily, you could very easily fall away. It happens so subtly, and go back to the world without even realizing it. It's very, very scary. And that's why Luke 21 and verse 19, by your patience, you will gain your souls. By your patience, that you have to patiently endure. You have to have diligence, and you have to have self-discipline. You have to have self-discipline in your life. Because like I said, it's like you have the Spirit of Yahweh that's in you, but the Spirit of Yahweh will only work if you allow it to work. It's not going to possess you. It's not going to force you. It's going to guide and lead you. So if you are not controlling your body and then saying, once your body's under control, go ahead, Spirit. Go ahead, Yahweh Spirit. Work in me now. It's never going to happen. That Satan the devil will use all these tricks to force yourself, your fleshly body, not to do it. Jacob 3 and verse 2 says, for we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in word, this one is a mature man, also able to subdue the whole body, right? I'm not going to read all of it in Jacob 3 about the tongue, right? This little member, it's a physical member, right? The tongue in your mouth. But you know what? Even if you cut your tongue out, you would still think those things. So maybe cutting your tongue out would stop you from saying it, but it's not going to stop you from thinking it. And that's why I say we have to reprogram our nervous system. We have to reprogram our nervous system to think differently, to create new patterns. We have to break those old patterns, create new patterns. And you got to work on it every day of your life. But it's possible. It's definitely possible, because where you are now happened not by accident. It happened by creating a wrong pattern over and over and over again. And that's where self-discipline isn't working in your life. And now it takes a lot of courage and character, but you got to break those patterns and make new patterns. But like it says, we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in word, this one is a mature man, also able to subdue the body. And like I've said before, when somebody says something that they shouldn't, and they say the wrong thing, and then they apologize, I appreciate that. But I would much rather have not said that wrong thing to begin with. And that's why I think about it. I think about before I say words. Every day of my life, I'm getting emails from all over the world. I got to respond to things. I think very carefully. I pray on it. Most of the time, I'll wait. I won't respond right away. I'll wait a day or two. Meditate on it. Let Yahweh's Spirit lead and guide me. There's some letters that could take a month to write because of that very reason. But because you want to have self-control of yourself. If somebody comes and insults you, you don't want to insult them right back, right? You want to be slow to anger, right? Slow to wrath and slow to speak. Proverbs 14:29, one slow to anger is of great understanding, but he who is short of spirit exacts folly. And I've said this before when I've talked on emotional maturity. Somebody who has no self-discipline and will just blurt anything out of his mouth, he's no different than a demonic person. Because you have no control over your body. That's what a demon does. A demon possesses you, and it can't just do it. You don't have to be afraid that somehow a demon will possess you. But you know it will possess you? That if you're taking drugs and you don't have control of your mind, you're giving the demon a chance to do that. If you have a spirit of anger, you know, or a spirit of lust, and you're giving into that over and over and over again. Tongues, the false tongues of Pentecostalism. Literally, you are giving that demon permission to enter you. And people will say, I fell on the ground, I rolled like a dog, I did all this stuff. Yeah, a demon did that. And Satan is laughing up there with his demons because a demon is forcing you to do that. Not forcing you. You allowed the demon to do that. You were giving the demon position, but giving him allowance to do that, permission to do that. So it's very serious because we're living in a world we know in the end time there is much more demonic influence in the world today, and you have to guard your spirit. You have to guard your spirit. And every time you go on the internet and you're looking at false religious sites, I said it before, it's spiritual pornography. It is spiritual pornography before Yahweh, and it will affect you. You think it won't. I'm strong enough, you know? And then people come with this flat earth and, you know, the Sabbath rotates. It's all nonsense. Don't even look at it. It's garbage. It's pornography. It's spiritual pornography. Throw it out the window. You don't need to see this stuff. You have to guard your spirit. You have to guard your spirit, and you have to have discipline in your life of what you're looking at and what you're seeing. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 9. Do not be hasty in your spirit to be angry, for sorrow rests in the bosoms of fools. Right? So again, once again, you have to have self-discipline in your life and in your spirit. Jacob 1 and verse 19. Book of Jacob, first chapter, verse 19 through 22. He says, therefore, my beloved brothers, let every man be swift to hear, right? Slow to speak, slow to wrath. You want to listen first. Let people talk, hear them out. And then you want to be slow to speak and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not work out the righteousness of Elohim. Wherefore, remove far from you all impurity and the abundance of wickedness. And with meekness, receive the word that is implanted in our nature, being able to save your souls with meekness, right? Like we said last week, humility, or a few weeks ago, with humility, receive the word that is implanted in our nature, right? Because our nature, Yahweh made our nature in the Garden of Eden to be good. He made our nature to be creatures of habit. So because the only thing we were supposed to be hearing is his word and his truth, and then we would never do anything different. But mankind used his free will to go against Yahweh. Very soon, I want to, again, although I've done several messages on the purpose of man, I want to go over it again because it's really important. It really shows us what our purpose is. But become doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself, right? Become doers of the word. You have to take action. And that's why I say There's people sometimes, they'll hear messages like this and they'll write me and they'll say, that message was great. That message was wonderful. That message was to me. And then, blah, blah, blah. And then a year later, so did you do anything on the message? Not yet. Not yet. But I'm gonna. You know, you have to. You have to be a doer of the word and not a speaker only. Acts 24:25. And this is when Paul is in prison. Remember when he's in prison in Caesarea? And think about this. It's really an important part of the Bible because he's going before the governor. He's going before King Agrippa. He's doing all these things. And it's part of the prophecy that Yeshua said to him. You know, that he'd go before kings, before the nations and the sons of Israel. And yet at the same time, right, Paul being there knowing this is one of the most important things of his ministry. What did he preach to the governor there? Listen, in Acts 24:25. And Paul, having reasoned concerning righteousness and self-control and the judgment that is about to be, being afraid, Felix answered, for the present go, but taking time later, I will call you. Did you hear what Paul preached on? Now this is, he's preaching to this guy. You would think, is he going to preach on the kingdom of Yahweh? Is he going to preach on the destruction of the end time? Is he going to preach on repentance? Listen to what he preaches on. Righteousness, self-control, and the judgment that's coming. Wow. Because you can't get to righteousness without self-control. You have to control the body. You have to control yourself. And without controlling yourself, Yahweh's Spirit will never work. It's like a seed that will be dormant in you. It doesn't matter if you've been baptized. If you had laying on of hands, you know, it will not make any difference whatsoever. That's why I call these the keys to the kingdom. These are the five gateways or the five keys. And you know, for a key, you could stick a key in a car. That doesn't start the car. You have to turn the key. You have to do something. You have to initiate it. And that's why at the end of these five gateways, I'm going to do a message on keys to the kingdom, explaining what keys do. Because keys are very, very important. And unless you initiate a key, it's not going to do nothing. So sticking a key in a car does nothing. Sticking a key in a door does nothing. You have to turn it. You have to initiate it. And it's the same way that's here. So this is what Paul is preaching about, as we see in Acts 24. Titus 2 and verse 1 and 2. Titus 2 and verse 1 and 2. He says, but you speak things which become sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, sensible, pure, sound in faith, in love, in patience. Teach them to be temperate, right? To have self-control, sensible, pure, sound in faith, in love, patience, in patience. So this is what we look at Timothy, 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus are called the pastoral epistles because they're literally teaching the pastors how to react in the congregation, how to ordain elders, how to teach what they should be teaching. And this is what he's saying to them, to speak things which are sound doctrine. And the first thing he's telling the men to be temperate, to have self-discipline in their lives. Galatians 5 and verse 16. Galatians 5 and verse 16. Because like I said, you've got to understand this. I say it over and over and over, but it's got to be reality that there's two spirits that are living inside of you. There's this, the human nature that you're born with, that is a corrupted spirit. Yahweh didn't create it in the Garden of Eden corrupted, but mankind has chosen to corrupt it. He's chosen his free will to use it in a corrupted way. And now every one of us living on the planet today, there's not one person living on the planet that's not a descendant from Adam. Because all the other human beings that were created, they all died in the flood. And every single human being today is a descendant from Adam and Eve. Which means we're all coming from corrupted DNA. Because Adam and Eve were not made to die, right? But Yahweh said, in the day you sin, you will die. So what happened? Their DNA changed. It had to change. Their physical bodies and their physical DNAs had to change. The same way that Satan, right? Satan was created as a covering cherub. As a musician, he was probably looked beautiful. But then when his nature changed into pride and envy and evilness, his whole look changed. And now he's an evil, disgusting creature. And it was the same. So we have a fallen DNA. We have a fallen nature. Every human being, you're born with it now. And every human being has gone the way of Adam. They've gone the way, like it says in Romans 3. There's not one that's righteous. No, not one. Not even one. Only Yeshua, who was born with the full measure of the Spirit of Yahweh, never sinned. So you have that spirit that you're born with, and then when you're baptized and have laying on of hands and you repent, you get a little seed of the Spirit of Yahweh. So now you have these two spirits living within you. You have the Spirit of Yahweh on one side, you have the spirit, your human nature, on the other side. It's like those little cartoons you used to watch, you know, where the devil pops up and, yeah, stick him with the fork. And then on the other side, the angel pops up. No, don't do that. And it really, it's in reality, that's what your life is. And now you have to choose. You choose. Do I follow the flesh and Satan, or do I follow the Spirit in Yahweh? And most people don't realize that this is happening every day of your life. You just think when somebody says something and you give this rude comment back, you're just reacting to what they said. No, you're not. You are reacting to the impulse that Satan is putting through your human body. It's that simple. But the Spirit of Yahweh would react differently if you would only allow it to. If you would only stop yourself. And that's why at the Red Sea crossing, remember, stand back and see the salvation of Yahweh and you be still. Stop listening to yourself and start listening to Yahweh and His Spirit that He speaks through His ministers, through His Word, through sermons like this. This is what we should be watching, not only on Sabbath, but all week long. We should be listening to sermons and reading our Bibles and letting the Spirit of Yahweh speak to us and not be surfing the internet and getting all this spiritual pornography in our lives. So, understanding that, now let's read Galatians 5 and verse 16. He says, "But I say to you, if you walk in the Spirit, the lust of the flesh will not overtake you," right? If you walk in the Spirit, the lust of the flesh. Because the lust of the flesh is everywhere. It's everywhere you look. It's everywhere that you hear. It's everything you smell. It's everything you taste, right? It's everything you touch. It's all to the flesh. It's all things that are given to your flesh for greed, for lust, for envy, for pride. And you have to have self-discipline to deny all this. You have to have the self-discipline to let the Spirit of Yahweh. Because it may seem hard at first hearing this. Whoa, how can I ever do this? But man, it's impossible. With Yahweh, all things are possible. And all you have to do is willingly stop it and deny it. And let the Holy Spirit work. And once the Holy Spirit works, the Holy Spirit, as we're going to see, it's not a spirit of lust and greed and envy and hate and murder. It's the spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, right? So the Spirit of Yahweh will do it. It will do it every time. It will help you every time. But you have to make that conscious choice in your life. You have to. And you can't let friends, relatives, children, husband, wives, you can't let anything in the flesh allow you to stop following the Spirit of Yahweh. "But I say to you, if you walk in the Spirit, the lust of the flesh will not overtake you. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are opposed to one another, so you are not able to do as you desire." Do you hear that? They're opposed to one another, so you're not allowed to do it. That's why you have to fight it. "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the penalty of breaking the Torah. Now the works of the flesh," so if you follow this human nature, here's what's going to happen. They're clearly revealed. They are adultery, impurity, uncleanness, lustfulness, idolatry, witchcraft, enmity, fighting, jealousies, anger, rivalries, stubbornness, divisions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and things like these, of which I tell you beforehand, I said before, the ones practicing such things will not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. That's your human nature. That's where it's going to end every time. And like I said, the world we live in today, wow, you don't even have to think about it. All you have to do is get up. Get up and go out in that society, and these things are going to come to you one way or another. In the workforce, like I said, through the internet, through people you meet, through your unconverted family members, through everything, this is going to come. But the fruit of the Spirit, right? So if you deny these things, if you have the self-discipline to keep your body under control, on the other end, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Against such things, there is no instruction. Self-control. The Spirit will help you with self-control if you only allow it to. Stop. I say that to people sometimes when they say to me, you know, "Don, I've been trying to overcome this sin for so long and I just can't do it." I tell them, because you love it. Because somehow your mind is thinking you're liking this sin. You're not telling me your sin is putting your hand on a hot stove. Nobody ever said that, because it's not pleasurable. That's not a sin people are going to do. They're going to do sins that somehow your warped, perverted mind and your human nature is thinking you're getting pleasure out of it. That's why people lie. They lie because they think they're getting away with something. Because they don't want to be embarrassed by the truth, right? But one lie leads to another lie, to another lie, to another lie. And in the end, it always comes out. But the ones belonging to Messiah crucify the flesh with the passions and lusts. Let us therefore live by the Spirit and surrender to the Spirit. This is the key. You have to willingly. And that's why people hate judicial order, right? People will attack me, you know, even make videos against me against judicial order. And yet at the same rate, all judicial order is, it's not my order, it's Yahweh's order. And Satan does not want you to surrender to Yahweh's judicial order. Why? Because if you surrender to Yahweh's judicial order, he's lost. That's it. Because Yahweh's Spirit will win every time, 100% guaranteed. Because there's only one Spirit. And the same Spirit that's in the Father is the same Spirit in the Son and the same Spirit in us. And if we simply allow that Spirit to work, wow, Satan's done. So that's why he's got to trick you through your flesh, because your flesh is weak and needs those five senses and it's addicted to things. And once he's got you in the flesh, you know, whether that's anger, whether that's whatever it is, you'll never overcome it. Romans 7 and verse 14. Romans 7 and verse 14. And if you don't think what I'm saying is true, wow. Take a look at what the Apostle Paul says, right? This is the Apostle Paul. This is, you know, maybe the strongest New Testament believer that was out there. Paul couldn't have went through these kind of problems, right? Because once you're baptized, you're spiritual and you'll never do anything wrong. Well, let's see what Paul says about this. Romans 7 and verse 14. Romans 7 and verse 14. For we know that the Torah is spiritual, but I am fleshly, having been sold under sin. Torah is spiritual, but I am fleshly, right? And that's why I say, the Bible says we should be dying to this flesh every day. We should be dying to it, and yet people are preserving the flesh. They got it upside down. And that's why I say, you have to live in a kingdom mindset. We're living in the mindset of democracy or demonocracy, and not in a mindset of the kingdom. We have to die to the flesh daily. I am fleshly, I haven't been sold into sin. For I do not know what I do. For I do not do the things I want, but I do the things which I hate. This is what I do. But if I do what I do not wish, I agree with the Torah that it is good. Now then, it is not I who do it, but the sin which dominates in me. It's his human nature. For I know that it does not fully dominate me, that is in my flesh. But as far as good is concerned, the choice is easy to make. But to do it is difficult for me, because the human nature fights the Spirit of Yahweh. For it is not the good that I desire to do that I do, but it is the evil that I desire that I do. This is the Apostle Paul saying this. But if I do what I do not desire, it is no longer I who do it, but the sin which dominates me. I find therefore that the Torah agrees with my conscience when I desire to do good, but evil is always near distracting me, just like I said. Your human nature has 100 ways, 1,000 ways in this world to distract you. For I delight in the Torah of Elohim according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, having warred against the law of my mind and taking me captive by the law of sin being in my members. Exactly what I'm saying here. Paul summed up my sermon, you know, in 9 verses there, whatever it is, that this is what we're fighting against, and you got to realize the battle. You will never win the war if you don't know who you're fighting against. This was the whole thing when President Obama was in there, remember, with the terrorists? He didn't want to call them radical Islam. And that's what the generals, the people in charge said. If you don't recognize your enemy, you're never going to beat him. And again, we saw the enemy, and the enemy is me. The enemy is you, because you are the one that has 100% control of the decisions you make. Yahweh has given us free will because that shows love. And if he wants to create us in his image, he has free will. But now, just as Yeshua did, who set the example in all things, we have to give that free will back to him. We have to say, Father, no way. I don't want free will. I don't want to make decisions. You take it back. Just by your word, by your leaders, by your congregation, by everything you teach me in the Bible, I only want to go by what you say. I don't want to think my own way. I don't want to have my own thoughts, because they're only going to get me in trouble like they have my own life. And that's what Paul's saying. We must conquer the flesh an addiction. Laodiceans are addicted. They exhibit no self-control. So the Laodicean, the one who thinks he's rich and increased with goods and need of nothing, but in reality they're poor, they're blind, they're miserable, and naked. And Laodiceans simply are lacking in self-control. We are creatures of habit, and through our minds, our nervous system can be addicted to almost anything. If you were beat by your father as a child, and you associated comfort with that, then you would want to be beat and beat others. Let me say that again. We are creatures of habit, and through our mind and our nervous system, we can be addicted to almost anything. If you were beat by your father as a child, and somehow, some warped way, you associated comfort with that, then you would want to be beat again, and you would want to beat others. People are addicted to drugs, alcohol, food, cigarettes, gossip, lying, social media, Facebook, iPods, internet, TV, vanity, looks, pride. And in America today, they have the worst opioid epidemic that they've ever had there. And it's destroying. It's destroying families. It's destroying people. Many people, more people are dying now than ever before in the history. Anything we put before Yahweh or cannot control is addiction, idolatry, and sin. Even coffee or tea, something that isn't bad, could be idolatry if you're not in control of it. You know, if you have to have that cup of coffee in the morning, or you have to have 5 cups of coffee, then it's idolatry. It's addiction. And that's the point of getting your physical body under control. If your body is addicted to anything, then you will never have, the Holy Spirit will never control you, because you are being controlled by the addiction. Just like the Apostle Paul said, the things I want to do, I don't. The things I don't want to do, I do. Oh, wretched man. He's talking about addiction in one form. Definitely. Refined sugar and corn syrup. It's bad for you, right? It weakens your immune system, and overabuse of it will cause diabetes, high blood pressure, and all other kinds of things, you know, problems with your kidneys. We have a paper, 76 things that refined sugar will cause. Yet millions of people are addicted to sugar. Matter of fact, it's very interesting. They said in 1900, the average American consumed about 4 pounds of sugar a year. Today, the average American consumes about 100 pounds of sugar. The average American. Coca-Cola, you know, people drinking Coca-Cola all day long, just going and have to have Coca-Cola. It's addiction. And it's highly addictive. It is addictive, you know, because there's substance in sugar that wants you to have more and is addictive. People can't control self, and it's idolatry. And my question is, why would a believer do this? Why would a believer do it? And why would you have it in your house and give it to other people? If you know that something is not good for your body and addictive, why on earth would you give it to other people? Now, granted, I'm not talking about if, you know, you go to a feast or something, or you have a piece of pie or something, okay? Because there is no 11th commandment that says thou shalt not take sugar. So we don't take it for different reasons. But if somebody has a piece of cake, or they have some, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not here to judge. It's self-righteousness if you do. I'm talking about people who use it every day in their life. Because there's nobody that can doubt that if you're eating sugar all the time and you're addicted to it, that it's good for you or healthy for you. And not only is it not healthy for your body, that it will cause overweight and like I said, diabetes, heart things, all these different things, high blood pressure. But it's addictive, which means that you are giving your mind, you're giving your control over to this addiction. It doesn't matter what your addiction is. It doesn't matter, like I said, whether the addiction is gossip or the addiction is cigarettes. If you have to do it, if you're giving your mind over to that, and you're thinking on it, and it's causing you to act, and you're not in control of yourself, it's idolatry, and it will keep you out of the kingdom of Yahweh. And on the other end, there's always an alternative, right? You know, honey is a miracle food. It really is a miracle food. And you could use honey just as easy than without sugar. And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. You know, why do people so often choose the wrong things? Sometimes it's convenience. Sometimes it's a little less money. Sometimes it's just the addiction itself. You know, because I know when we stopped using sugar, now I don't even want it. It's bitter to me. It doesn't taste sweet at all. But honey sure tastes good. 1 Corinthians 6:12 says, all things are lawful to me, but not all things profit. All things are lawful to me, but I will not be ruled by any. And that's why I say, we don't want to get self-righteous. You know, you see somebody eating a piece of pecan pie or something, and, oh, I would never do that. Self-righteous. And no, of course not. One piece of pie or something, not only isn't it going to kill you, it might even taste good and be fine. You know, I'm not here to judge that. I'm talking about addiction. I'm talking about people that are doing these things and have no self-control over it. But if you read verse 19 and 20 afterward, so verse 12 says, all things are lawful to me, that not all things profit. All things are lawful to me, but I will not be ruled by any, right? If you're ruled by it, if you're addicted to it, then that's a whole different situation. And verse 19 says, or do you not know that your body is a sanctuary of the Holy Spirit in you, which you have from Yahweh, and you are not of yourself? You were bought with a price. Then glorify Yahweh in your body and in your spirit, which belong to Yahweh. You were bought with a price. And that's the point. Like I said, in democracy or demonocracy, people don't want to see this. Everything is, I'm free. I have rights. I can say what I want. I have my constitutional right. It's like, no, you don't. If you're a believer, you are bought with a price. You are bought with a price. And if you have idolatry in your life, you will not be in the kingdom of Yahweh. It's the very first commandment. And the greatest, you shall not put anything before Yahweh. Love Yahweh with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and not to put anything before him. And you are to glorify Yahweh and your body and spirit. And if you're not glorifying Yahweh in your body, you'll never glorify him in your spirit. It's that simple. You have to have self-control in your life. We must be in control of our spirit as we have free will. Yahweh doesn't force us, but Satan certainly does deceive us. What are we obeying? Are we obeying food, pride, selfishness, sarcasm? And I say, if you're addicted or not, try to go 3 months and see if you can do without it. There's some people that can't even go 2 days without a cup of coffee or a cup of tea, headaches and all this other stuff. If you can't go 3 months without it, then you know you have a problem. Romans 6 and verse 16. It says, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves as slaves for obedience, you are slaves to whom you obey, whether of sin to death or obedience to righteousness? But thanks be to Elohim that you were slaves of sin, but you obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine from which you were delivered, right? So you have to follow the doctrine. You have to follow the doctrine in order to repent. You have to follow the judicial order to follow the doctrine. If you want any real change, you got to follow Yahweh's way. It ain't just going to happen. It's not an emotional feeling, you know. It's something that's real. Yahweh has a way. He has a word. He has a doctrine. And if we don't follow, then you're following the way of sin and death. Whoever you present yourself as slaves to obedience, you're slaves to who you obey, right? So you could sit here and say, you know, I'm not addicted, as you're drinking 12 Coca-Colas a day, you know, but come on, who are you kidding? And you might fool people and you may fool yourself, but you're not fooling Yahweh. And I always say this, which shocks me, that people sometimes, they're more worried about people finding out their sin than Yahweh finding out their sin, which Yahweh knows about anyway. But they're more worried about offending a human being than offending Yahweh, and it's pride. It's only because of pride. But thanks be to Elohim that you were slaves of sin, but you obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you were enslaved in righteousness. I speak as a man on account of the weakness of your flesh. I speak as a man on account of the weakness of your flesh. That's where Satan gets you. He doesn't get you in your spirit, because the fruits of the spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. And there is no law against them. He gets you in your flesh. And that's why he wants your flesh weak. Because when your flesh is weak, he can zing you, right? He wants to be able to control you over the addictions of your flesh. I speak as a man on account of the weakness of your flesh. For as you yielded your members as slaves to uncleanness and to iniquity, so now yield your members as slaves to righteousness unto sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free as to righteousness. Therefore, what fruit did you have then in the things in which you were now ashamed? For the end of those things are death. But now, having been set free from sin, and having been enslaved to Elohim, you have your fruit unto sanctification, and the end to everlasting life, right? So, wow, you have an out. There is an out to this, but you have to follow it. You have to follow it. Must be in control of our spirit, right? To be able to do this. And it all starts in the mind. Your nervous system gives to your mind, and Satan puts these broadcasts in your mind, and thought becomes action, action becomes sin, sin becomes death. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. He says, for though we do live in earthly life, we do not serve worldly things. Although we do live in earthly life, like, right, we're human beings, we're in the flesh, and the only thing holding you back from the kingdom of Yahweh is this flesh. That's the only thing, because flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. So why are we trying to preserve this? Why aren't we trying to preserve the spirit, right? The spirit that's not made up of atoms, and it's not flesh. That's what we should be trying to preserve, not this. For though we live in earthly life, we do not serve worldly things. For the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but of the power of Yahweh to the demolition of strongholds. I gave a great sermon on this last year, on the demolition of strongholds. Please listen to it if you haven't. Telling you exactly how to break down these strongholds, because some of it are generational curses, and it has to be dealt with. Casting down imaginations and every false thing, lifting itself up against the knowledge of Elohim, and bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of the Messiah. Bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Messiah. I have a whole message on this. But think how powerful this is. So now it's starting out where, yes, get rid of the sugar. Get rid of whatever addiction you have there. You know, that's making your body, because again, if you're eating all kinds of bad foods and white sugar and everything else, and you're overweight and you're tired and you have no energy, how on earth? I mean, believe me, as somebody that has had health problems in his life, I know that, yes, in one way, when I'm weak, I'm strong, when we're yielding to Yahweh. But I know in another way that if I'm causing my body to be weak by simply eating the wrong foods and not getting proper sleep and rest, then all I'm doing is weakening myself for Satan. And they're two totally different things. So starting out with this simple thing of getting your body in control through the different ways we talked about here. But the end result is, that's only the beginning. That's only the first step. The end result is taking every thought into control the obedience of Messiah. Do you see where self-discipline goes? Self-discipline goes to the point that Satan can't tempt you anymore. Because the minute a thought comes in that is not from the word of Yahweh, it's, get it, get rid of it. That thing has no chance to set in your mind. And how does it happen? Because as soon as that person comes with a hard word against you, before your pride can come up, hey, you, why do you talk to me that way, right? The word comes up, soft answer turns away wrath. Okay, slow down. That's why we have to study the word to show ourselves approved. That's why we have to be in this word day and night, over and over, over and over. And if you have all this time to be surfing the internet, you're not in your Bible. You have to be studying. You have to get this stuff where every single situation that comes up, that's how you take every thought into captivity, into the obedience of Messiah. Because scripture comes in. And never the mouth will speak before the mind thinks. And then you're not going to sin anymore. This is the end result of it. And wow, is that powerful. Breaking every stronghold, taking action. Taking action, right? It's the doers of the word, not the hearers. Taking action. Every thought into captivity, stop being defensive. We ask better questions, we get better answers, right? And the more you study the word of Yahweh, I said this years ago when I was an early believer, I took the whole book of Proverbs with little flashcards. On one side, Proverbs 1:1, the proverb on the other side, and memorized the book of Proverbs. And once that book was memorized, wow, like I said, anything that would come up in life, a proverb would come in your mind. You need to do that. You need to have it in your mind. Because then you can ask better questions and you get better answers. The quality of your life is in the questions that we ask. With this action, will this action make me spiritually stronger to serve Yahweh? Or will it affect in an adverse way my spiritual life? This is what you have to see. Romans 10:3-4. It says, for being ignorant of the righteousness of Yahweh and seeking to establish their own righteousness, they did not submit to the righteousness of Yahweh. For Messiah is the goal of the Torah for righteousness that everyone, to everyone that believes. So being ignorant of the righteousness of Yahweh and seeking to establish their own self-righteousness, they did not submit to the righteousness of Yahweh. They didn't do what I'm saying today. They didn't control their pride in their body and surrender to Yahweh's spirit. They did the opposite. See, like he says, for Messiah is the goal of the Torah for righteousness. It's not our own self-righteousness. It's the righteousness of Yahweh's word. And that's why we got to be in that word day and night. Must surrender to Yahweh in everything. Emulate Yeshua. Lose ourself and the culture of Babylon. And you got to fight it every day of your life. Like I said, there'll never be a point where you could say, okay, I've done it. I've stopped. I'm not going to read, pray, study, meditate anymore. I've done it for so long and now. No way. No way. You have to do it every day of your life until the day you give up your last breath. So, and that's going to give you love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. The key is self-control. Because without self-control, that corner piece in the flesh, none of the others will overcome. Because you have to. You have free will. You have to first control yourself. And then the rest is easy. It's so easy from there. Because Yahweh's Spirit will do the rest. It will do everything you think you can do if you only allow it to. But our human nature will not allow that spirit to come. And we're fighting it and we're holding it back. So I want to go over now three ways to control the flesh before we end here. How can we do this? Because maybe you're listening and saying, wow, this is on the money. This is deep. This is good. But now how do I do it? So here's the way that we do it. Revelation 13:10. If anyone gathers captivity, into captivity he goes. If anyone kills by a sword he must be killed. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Here's the patience and faith of the saints. So what is he saying? You reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. So the very first thing is you have to break any addiction. If you have any addiction in the flesh, you have to break it. You have to get your body at optimal pace so that your mind will be optimal pace. You have to break any addiction you have there. Like I said, it might be a physical addiction to food or sugar or white flour or whatever, or it might be a spiritual addiction to gossip, to pride, to self-righteousness, to anger, whatever it is, you got to control the flesh. And how do you do that? By breaking the addiction. You have to get a plan of action. So first thing, you need a plan of action. You need to write this down and say how you're going to do it. And then by repetition, asking better questions, get better answers. Break the old pattern, because these are what's called anchors. Anchors are things that you don't even know you're doing that you do automatically. Some people bite their fingers and you say, hey, do you know I didn't even know I'm biting my finger. I just do it automatically. Some people are anchored to songs, right? They hear a certain song. They've been in Jerusalem 5 times for the feast, and now they hear Shalom Jerusalem and they start crying. Someone says, why are you crying? Oh, you don't understand. You've never been to Jerusalem. But that song makes me. Other people, it's bad songs. It's worldly songs that make them think of this, or make them think of an old girlfriend, or make them think of something else. And it puts you in emotional states that you either good state or a bad state. So this is where you have to break those anchors. If they're negative anchors that are holding you back, you know, and that's why one of the first things we do at the school, we have people write down their belief systems. What is your belief system made of? And you have empowering beliefs and you have disempowering beliefs. An empowering belief I have, all things work for the good. Romans 8:28. So no matter what happens in my life, it could seem like the most horrible thing. I know in the end something good will come out of it. That's one of my beliefs. Somebody else may have a belief. They don't trust people. All humans are bad. I don't trust people. Wow. That's not an empowering belief. Because you know what? You're a human. That means you don't even trust yourself. So that's a bad belief. The better belief is, how do you change that belief? So instead of saying, I don't trust anybody, I say, I'm going to make people earn my trust. So now you just turn that disempowering belief into an empowering one. Because it's empowering. You should make people earn your trust. You shouldn't trust anybody. But to trust nobody, man, that disempowers your whole life. What kind of marriage are you ever going to have? That means you're never going to trust your husband or your wife. You don't trust your parents. You don't trust your boss. You don't trust anybody. So this is where we have to change those negative anchors. We have to break them, and we have to create new patterns. Create new patterns, empowering patterns in our life. Ecclesiastes 5:6 says, "Do not allow your mouth to cause your flesh to sin. Do not say before the messenger of Yahweh that it was an error. Why should the Elohim be angry over your voice and destroy the work of our hands?" So do not let your flesh cause your spirit to sin. Do not let your flesh cause your spirit to sin. That's why you have to get this physical body under control. And you have to mentally realize your body is not the end goal. Your body is not what you should be preserving. What you should be preserving is the spirit of Yahweh, your spirit. Don't let your flesh cause your spirit to sin. Some people self-sabotage. In their life, they've had so many situations that have only gone wrong that now they're in a situation that's going really good and their mind starts telling them it's going too good. Something's going to go wrong. It can't last this way. It never did. And they sabotage it because they think it's better to get out of this now and sabotage it than later have it worse. Wow, that's a disempowering belief. So you got to get all kinds of self-sabotage out of your life. And again, we're creatures of habit. And if your habit has always been negative, 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 and where every situation comes up, you know, there's a knock on the door. Oh, it's somebody who wants information. It's the police. It's this, it's that. Who knows? Maybe it's somebody who's looking for the truth. Maybe it's somebody that Yahweh sent you. Maybe it's somebody with a gift. So you've got to get out of that negative mind thought, and you have to create new patterns that are positive. Number two, point number two. First one was breaking all addictions. Number two is whatever you focus on becomes most real to you. I said that in the beginning. So whatever you're focusing on, that's going to be your reality. And what you want to do is you want to make sure that you're focusing on the word of Yahweh. You don't want to be focusing on doubt. You don't want to be focusing on the world, the negativity of the world, the new world order. There's people that get overtaken with it. And it takes them out of the congregation because they're so overtaken with it. And what I say is, I have free will, right? So with my free will, I can do anything. Your free will, you can make any choice you want. Doesn't mean there's not consequences to those choices. Like I said, you reap what you sow. But you know what? I can choose to focus on proof that Yahweh exists, proof that Yeshua died for my sins, proof that the Torah is real, and proof that I know all the doctrines, the 24 lessons 100% are true. Or I can choose to focus on doubt. Well, who created Yahweh? Well, how do I know that this is right? Well, how do I know this is going to happen? Because doubt will only lead to doubt, lead to doubt, lead to doubt, and it will destroy your spiritual life. So what I do is I use my free will to choose not to doubt. I have no doubt in my life. I don't doubt. Because the things I don't know, I don't even want to think about. I will not allow doubt in my life. I have the self-discipline not to do that. And you have to do that. You have to stop doubt. Doubt is only in the flesh. There's no doubt in the spirit because Yahweh knows everything. So he doesn't have to tell us everything, but he sure tells us enough for salvation. And you can't allow doubt into your life. Whatever you focus on becomes most real. You have to replace old habits with new ones. Study and pray every single day. Read your plan of action on what you want to change. Write it down and do it. You've got to be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. Meditate on how it will make you a better servant. And you have to live like it's already happened. Speak as if what you're trying to change has already happened. Sit with the confidence that it's already happened. You know, look like it's already happened. We do this at the school. Because when somebody is depressed, you have physiology of your physical body that shows it. If somebody walks into services like this, "Hey, how's it going there?" Does that person have to say anything that you know there's something wrong here? But if somebody walks into services like this, "Hey, Shabbat Shalom, how's it going there?" You're going to be like, "Wow, what happened this week with you?" So you have to, your physiology will literally change your mindset. You have to stand, you have to talk, you have to look, you have to feel as if you've overcome this problem. And don't let your physiology put you into these negative states because there's no reason to. Everything is in the mind. Everything is a mindset. And that's why meditation comes in a lot. We want to be overcomers, committed to work on this daily. It's not just going to happen. You've got to take action. You have to do it every day of your life. It's got to be important. Matthew 7 and verse 21. Matthew 7 and verse 21. It will not be that just everyone who says to me, Master, Master, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the ones who do the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Master, Master, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name do many works of power? And then I will declare to them, from everlasting I never knew you. Depart from me, those working lawlessness. Then everyone who hears these words of mine and does them, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them, I will compare him to a wise man who built his house on the rocks. And the rain came down, and the floods came down, and the winds blew and fell against the house, but it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. You know, Yeshua. That's why he is the rock. We have to emulate him. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them, he shall be compared to a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain came down, and the floods came down, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell, and great was the collapse of it. So here we are. You've got to be doers of the word, not just hearers. Romans 2, 12 and 13. Says, for as many as have sinned without the Torah will also perish without the Torah, and as many have sinned within the Torah will be judged through the Torah. For not the hearers of the Torah are righteous with Elohim, but the doers of the Torah shall be right, shall be justified. The doers of the Torah. I remember years ago, before we left the States and we had the congregation in Pennsylvania, and we used to talk about going out and helping the poor. And we did. We had a homeless ministry. We used to go out to the homeless, do all these things. And there was one person in the congregation that used to always talk about. He was going to go to hospitals. And he's going to go to hospitals. And he talked about it and talked about it and talked about it and talked about it. To the point where one day I just got frustrated. And I said, you know, go home. Take a nap. Go to the hospital. You know, just do it. Just do it. Go ahead. Do it. Because he talked about it for like a year. And kept talking about it. Well, when I get the time, well, when I'm off from work, well, when I do this, well, when I do this. There's a point where the talking has to stop. There's a point, like it says, very, very clearly, the doers of the word are justified, not the hearers. And if you listen to sermons, and then you talk about it afterwards with the group there, and you talk about it and this and that, and you never get off the bottom of that chair and actually do any change. If you've never put a plan of action together and put it on your refrigerator to say, I will change and this is how I will change, then you know what? Like Yahweh says here in Ecclesiastes 5:6, don't allow your mouth to cause your flesh to sin. Why should the Elohim be angry over your voice and destroy the work of his hands? He doesn't take pleasure in fools, right? Don't let your flesh cause your spirit to sin. You have to be a doer and not just a talker. And the last point we'll go over very quickly here, we're almost out of time, is commitment. You got to be committed to it. Like I said, make the plan of action, read it daily, listen to subjects. Sermons should not be something you're just listening to once a week. You know how many, we have now probably, I don't know, 150, 200 sermons in audio, DVD and audio online on almost every single subject you can imagine. If there's ever one that we don't have it on, write to me. I'd be happy to do it. But look, like what I'm talking about today, there's probably at least 10 to 12 sermons I have that are similar that will help you with messages that are like this. So listen to them. Listen to, because every one is a little different and the focus is a little different. But listen to them. Remember what we said, repetition is the mother of skill. By doing something over and over and over, your nervous system now will become a reality to you. And you have to get the worldly stuff out of it. And that's why it's so important to come out of the world. Because without coming out of the world, you know what your reality becomes? Your reality becomes Facebook. Your reality becomes social media. Your reality becomes 100 times a day checking who wrote and put a like or a thumb or the other things. You don't want that in reality. You want to come out of that. Because everything in the world is against Yahweh. You know, 1 John 2:15 through 17. It's all the ways of pride and vanity and against the word of Yahweh. So listen to the sermons, you know. If you need to work on having a better diet, breaking your addictions, and get accountability partner. Get somebody, your husband, your wife, your friend, your child, your parent, whatever it is. Get accountability partner so that somebody who can test you, that can come back with you, that you could read these things over, you could see the progress you're making. But I'm telling you, this is such an important gateway. And without this gateway, you're not entering the kingdom of Yahweh. Revelation 14:12 says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are the ones keeping the commandments of Yahweh and the faith of Yeshua. That's the patience of the saints. The ones who are the doers, that are the obedient ones. They have the faith of Yeshua. And like we said, in the first three gateways, without faith, you'll never do it. You'll never fear Yahweh unless you 100% believe he is. But you got to get over this flesh part to be able to get into that spiritual realm. 1 Timothy 4:13 and 14, he says, until I come, be diligent, be self-disciplined in reading, in prayer, and teaching. Do not neglect the gift in you, which was given to you through prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the elder. So he's telling, and well, although he's talking here about Timothy's ordination, you could also say for being baptized, everyone that was baptized that has the Holy Spirit. Don't neglect that gift. And if you're living to the flesh and not allowing that spirit to work in you, you're neglecting it. You're actually quenching the Holy Spirit. And inevitably, you'll wind up committing the unpardonable sin, which is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. And it means that you have it and you never used it. You know, it's unrepentant sin. It's denying the Holy Spirit to work in you. And that's what it comes down to. So you want to be diligent in doing that. Hebrews 5 in verse 12. Two more scriptures here and we'll be done. Hebrews 5 and verse 12 says, by now you should be teachers because you have been a long time in training. But even now you need to be taught again the beginning fundamentals of the words of Yahweh. And you are still in need of milk and not of solid food. For everyone partaking of milk is without experience in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat is for those full grown, having exercised the faculties through habit for discernment of both good and bad. Listen to that again. But strong meat, today we're giving strong meat, we're not giving you milk, is for those full grown, those who are mature, having exercised their faculties through habit, right? Through habit for discernment of both good and bad. You have to use it. It's through habit. Repetition is the mother of skill. The more you do it, the more it becomes a part of you. And there was the famous coach, John Wooden of UCLA, probably the most famous college basketball coach ever in the history of basketball. And he's dead now, but what he used to do, he would take somebody that was a great star, like a Michael Jordan type star, who comes there and says, let me show you what I can do, coach. And he'd say, you know what? Go over there, the chippy, the easiest shot right next to the basket. And he would say, do that 1,000 times. A free throw where you stand on the free throw line with no one guarding you and you're shooting it. He'd say, do that 1,000 times. And then you come and talk to me. You have to become masters in this. We need to be masters of the Bible, not masters of the world. And until you master your body and conquer your body, you'll never be a master of your spirit. And like I said, once you conquer the body, you'll see the spirit is easy because you don't have to do anything. It's the same spirit. The spirit will do it for you, but you've got to conquer the body. You have to surrender yourself to that spirit, like it said in Galatians 5. You have to do, and to endure to the end, we must develop self-discipline. Repetition creates habits, and that's what's going to do it. You've got to break those old patterns, start new patterns. Have a plan of action. Write it down. Don't just say it. Write it down. And the last scripture is 2 Timothy 1:7. For Yahweh did not give a spirit of cowardice to us, but of power and of love and of good discipline. Yahweh did not give a spirit of cowardice to us. That's what doubt is. Doubt is cowardice, right? But of power and of love and good discipline. The fourth gateway to the kingdom of Yahweh. Our bodies are holding us back. We must die to the flesh daily. We must surrender to the spirit. Keep our bodies subdued under self-control. by repetition, which is the mother of skill, whatever you focus on becomes most real to you. We have to be praying without ceasing, studying daily. Stay focused to the end time work in Jerusalem, right? The more focused you are on what Yahweh is actually doing and being a part of that, the more you'll overcome, the more you win. So you got to stay focused to that. And you have to keep your body under control. Yahweh bless. Shabbat shalom.